No, it's 800 years this year, I think, since St. Francis died. It's believed that he started writing the Canticle of the Sun in 1224 and possibly finished it in the year of his death, which may explain sort of the last few lines that we heard. St. Francis suffered from a disease, an infection or something in his eyelids, which was painful and uncomfortable and required treatment. And so at the end of his life, when he would have written this poem, he was unable to see. And yet in his memory, in his imagination, he was still able to see all that God had created and the world that he was living in. Within church, we often refer to one another as brothers and sisters. But as St. Francis reflects upon the creation in which he's living in, not only does he see people as brothers and sister, but he sees brothers in the sun, the wind, and the fire. He sees sisters in the moon and in water. All creation, to St. Francis, is family. And perhaps it's no surprise then that he is the patron saint of ecology. On Mother's Day, many people will be thinking of and giving thanks for the mothers and those that have cared for them, that have fed them, that have nurtured them and loved them. Within churches, there will be many that are giving thanks for the places that they were raised, the churches where they were born into baptism, greeted and welcomed into the family of God. But for St. Francis, the family and the connected of creation was something even greater. But all these things point us to one. They point us to the highest, all-powerful, good Lord. We give thanks for our mothers and those that care. We give thanks for the churches. St. Francis goes further and gives thanks to the earth as well, for the coloured flowers and herbs, which you will see shortly. And in this, St. Francis points us to something higher, something greater, the highest, all-powerful, good Lord. St. Francis wrote these words 800 years ago or so, but these are words that have been echoed throughout the church for 2,000 years. The earliest known Christian hymn dates back to the 3rd century, found in Egypt, the first hymn song with both words and music. And in it, it says, I can't tell you what it says because I seem to have lost that piece of paper. Oh no, here it is. In it, it says, glory to God, the sole giver of all good things. For hundreds, thousands of years, the church has been singing to the glory of God for all the good things that he has given us. For our mothers, for our families, for the church, and for all creation. I'm very pleased to say it's nearly ready. It might even be dry by the end, which I'm really hoping. So as we think for a moment about those that have cared for us, for the churches that have welcomed us into the family of God, as we think of our place in creation, and as we think about the greatest gift of all, the love of the highest, all-powerful, good Lord. Let us listen to some words from Isaiah, which are going to be read for us.
So, the reading's from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 10 to 13. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her and all you who mourn her. Drink deeply of her glory, even as an infant drinks as its mother's comforting breasts. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arms and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child.
Let's close our eyes for a moment. Father, we and so many like St. Francis may not be able to see. So open our eyes. Open our hearts, our minds, to all that you have given us. May we be grateful this day, for you are the sole giver of all good things. Amen.